nothing by happenstance. Good luck, said John Calvin. No, I don't believe in luck. I believe in God. He does all things after the counsel of his own will. And, you know, it's interesting. I didn't plan these events, but a week before last, I had my oldest daughter and her husband and kids come, and they had planned a trip Thursday, Friday to go to Philadelphia. Her husband planned that out, and I didn't plan it, and had no, just went along for the ride, so to speak. And we wound up going down to Philadelphia, and we went to see the Liberty Bell. No big deal there. That's just a bell that rings. But the big thing was Independence Hall. Independence Hall. And that was really fantastic to go to Independence Hall and see where the men gathered together from the colonies, the British colonies, in the First Continental Congress, Second Continental Congress, and ultimately Second Continental Congress. They signed on July 4, 1776, the Declaration of Independence, which was an amazing thing. They had no plan to do that. They had no original plan to do that. But what happened was there was trouble up in Boston. And what's interesting to me is that this week my youngest daughter has come with her husband and family, and they've planned a trip to go to New England, including a trip to Boston. And again, I'm along for the ride. and they had trouble in Boston. The men that were gathered together in Philly in the First Continental Congress, they had trouble in Boston, and they were called to gather together by a guy named John Adams. How many have heard of John Adams? He called them together, and they came and they gathered and to try to help with the problem in Boston. He had a cousin named Samuel Adams, and some people say, they talk about Sam Adams. But Sam Adams was a guy that did not like British oppression, and he just would not submit to the intolerable acts that King George III foisted upon the people there in Massachusetts, the colony. And it was a hard time. And then, you know, they had gone through some terrible oppression, and the governor was bad enough, the British governor, but they actually got him fired, and General Gage, an absolute tyrant, came over with redcoats from Britain, and he took over from the governor and did terrible things. He took John Hancock's house and just took it for himself, and he did terrible things. And so all of that was going on, and then there was something called the Boston Massacre. How many have heard of the Boston Massacre? That's when British troops opened fire on these colonists and killed children. It was horrible, child. And they just opened fire. And Dr. Joseph Warren was a doctor during that time. He was part of that. Samuel Adams and John Hancock, they got into trouble with General Gage, the British general, and it just kept getting worse and worse, became intolerable. After the Boston Massacre, they had something called the Boston Tea Party. How many have heard of the Boston Tea Party? They went on a British ship and overthrew tea into the Boston Harbor there because of the terrible taxation that was going on under King George. And these people just wanted to be treated as Englishmen and have the rights of Englishmen. And Samuel Adams and John Hancock and John Adams, they went down to Philly with all this going on, and they complained to the delegates there, and they met with a guy named Ben Franklin. How many have heard of Ben Franklin? They met with Ben Franklin, and Ben Franklin said, you know what you guys are really asking for is not just rights of a British citizen. You're asking for a crazy plan called creating a whole new country. And they were like, oh? And he said, that's what you're calling for. And he said, I'm for that plan too. And so he went in there as a delegate to the Continental Congress from Philadelphia, from Pennsylvania, along with another delegate. And he tried to convince the people there to go for a new nation. and declare independence totally from Britain, which they weren't ready to do because they said, hey, we got our money. You guys are just troublemakers. That Sam Adams is just nothing but a troublemaker up there in Boston, and you're just giving us trouble. Now, you're giving us trouble with the British. We want to keep our houses, our lands. And that John Hancock, he had his house taken, but that's him up there. That must be because of Sam Adams. And we're not going to be involved in that. And there was a big, tall guy that came in, a delegate from Virginia, and he stood up and said, that Gage is a tyrant. That British general's a tyrant. And that big tall guy that stood up, Sam Adams, said, boy, he's intense. Who is he? And he was told, that's George Washington. He fought with Gage in the French Indian War, and he knew what a ruthless devil he was. And he told Adams and the rest, he said, this is going to have to come to war. This will not be settled without war. Well, when all this was going on, you know, they weren't convinced to vote for independence. They'd sent a letter. They sent a letter the last time, I believe in the first Congress, they sent a letter to King George saying, you know, we don't like the way you're treating us. And Adams was like, that's not enough. He's not going to listen to the letter. And he was right. And Washington was right. And what happened was that coming down from Boston was a man by the name of Paul Revere. And he said, you know what? They'd already had the Battle of Lexington, the shot that's heard around the world. They'd already had the Battle of Concord when the British troops under Gage, you know, was fighting the colonists. And now they had the Battle of Bunker Hill. Gage would not give up. And finally, he overran the colonists on Bunker Hill. And Paul Revere came to say, you know, that they gave their life. Joseph Warren died and others on Bunker Hill. And that was it. Washington said, I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm going now to gather an army to fight Gage. And Washington walked right out. The rest of them voted July 4, 1776. To declare independence from Britain. And they put their lives, their sacred honor, and everything else. And it's just interesting to me that God had me involved in all of this, and God's providence is involved in this in my life. I didn't seek this out, but I think I'm a Pennsylvania Patriot pastor. And I want to say something to you. And I would be one of those that if it was the Revolutionary War, I'd take my musket after the sermon. I'd go out and fight the Brits. But I want to say to you this morning that I didn't seek this out. But, you know, the Boston Tea Party was called an insurrection on December 16, 1773. Took place. It's called an insurrection by the Brits. And boy, they punished. And you know what? January 6, 2021 was called an insurrection. It was not an insurrection. It was a recognition of the intolerable acts of King George and his despotism and his tyranny. It was the harbinger of a call to a new nation. And I'm glad I was in Washington, D.C. on January 6, 2021. I count it a providential privilege of God. And I put it right with the Boston Tea Party. I put it right with the Boston Tea Party. I put it not in the same vein, but Jesus going into the temple and overturning the tables and saying, you've made your identity my father's house. This is the people's house. And it's become a den of thieves. Nancy Pelosi and her garbage and all the rest of it. And then all the sham show trials they had afterward. It's just a bunch of malarkey, to quote Biden, a malarkey. Now, I didn't plan to say all that this morning, but I'm glad I said it. And I want to say to you that these men that put their lives on the line and signed the Declaration, and later they signed the Constitution, Independence Hall in Philadelphia. These men that did that, and these soldiers that gave their blood on American battlefield, you need to recognize that you have been given something that Paul the Apostle didn't have. He was under Caesar, and he said, submit to Caesar. You've been given a Constitution. You've been given a Bill of Rights. You've been liberated by the liberators of our country. Men like George Washington and others. And I believe, and I'm going to say this, I believe George Washington's a tall guy. I met with another tall guy the other day and a few weeks ago and shook his hand. And he said, "Pastor, can you get me some votes in your church?" And I got Bob Majeski, and he's been helping us do it. His name's Donald Trump. And I believe Donald Trump is a second George Washington. Did you hear me? I believe that's really where we are right now. We are at the point where we need a second. Now, you say, are you doing a call to arms? No, I'm not. I believe the first war was a hot war. I believe this right now is an information war. And I pray it just is that. I pray it's just that. And it's an information war, and that's why I listen to alternate news sites, not the mainstream media, because it's just a propaganda arm like Joseph Goebbels in World War II. They're trying to get people off the air. They're trying to get Alex Jones off the air before the election. They've sued him for $1 billion. They're taking his name, his station, everything in court. They're judge shopping and trying to do that. So far, he's been on the air. He said, "I'll give you money, whatever you want." They said, "No, we want your name. We want to shut you down. We want to take you over. We want to stop the First Amendment." They don't want the First Amendment. They don't want any of these things. They're against that because they're tyrants worse than King George. And you say, who are they? George. George Soros. George. Another George. And Bill Gates. And his underlings, Fauci, and people in the FBI, the CIA, or who are the high-ups in there. They're working for the globalists. They're not working for the Constitution. They wouldn't know the Constitution if it hit them, and they hate it. They hate America. They hate what the patriots stand for.
Right.
Stand fast in the liberty of your liberators. Amen. There are some people say, "Oh, just submit to all this. Just submit." You're not an American.
Right.
You're a poor excuse for an American. You say you're a Christian, you're a coward. And I'm just saying that we need to have some Patrick Henrys. Give me liberty or give me death. Patrick Henry.
Good preacher.
We need some men like George Washington who will stand up and John Adams and other great men. And so I want to preach on stand fast in the liberty of your liberators. But I want to say this. First of all, and only 2 points in my message. First of all, because your faith in Jesus Christ has given you the greatest liberation by the greatest liberator. And I want you to look at the Bible, and I'll quote it. It says in Romans 10:4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." I am so glad that I am liberated from the law as a covenant of works. I was born under the law. Every Sunday, the Ten Commandments were read by the long-robed preacher in my Christian Reformed church. As I grew up, I began to understand by the Holy Spirit convicting me by the law that the law was not just thou shalt not commit adultery with your body, you shall not commit adultery in your mind. And the murder was not just murder in your body, but you shall not commit murder by hating somebody in your heart. And I found out before the law of God that I had sinned and I didn't keep the law of God. You see, we are all born under the law and we are all born condemned by the law of God. And the Bible says if you break one commandment, you're guilty of breaking the whole law. So if you do like I did, I said, I don't want to take the name of the Lord my God in vain. I've heard people take his name in vain. But I heard, if you take his name in vain, he will not hold you guiltless. So I determined I was not going to say Jesus Christ's name in vain. I was not going to say God in vain. I was not going to do that because I didn't want to go to hell and be guilty of breaking the law. But you know what? Had I ever hated anybody in my heart? Had I ever committed adultery by looking at a woman to lust after in my heart? I'd broken the law of God spiritually. And God showed me that you are guilty. If you break one point of the law, you're guilty of all. And I realized God will judge me according to the law because I was under the law. And if you're under the works of the law, and I was trying to get to heaven by keeping the law, if you are there, the Bible says in Galatians, you're under a curse. And it says in Galatians 3:10, listen to this, cursed, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in what? All things that which are written in the book of the law, to do them. You're under a curse. You're under a curse. That means you have to die. That means you have to go to hell forever to pay for your sins. And I lived under that law because I had not met the great liberator. And I realized, I prayed to God and I said, God, if there's a way I could be saved, I want to be saved. But I didn't know that way to be saved. And then I heard about the great liberator. By the way, he's greater than George Washington, who sinned. He's greater than Donald J. Trump, the second Washington. He is the greatest. Muhammad Ali said he's the greatest. But no, he is the greatest. He's the champion of love. He's the champion of grace. He's the one that is our liberator. He liberates us from the curse of the law. He liberates us from the condemnation of the law. He liberates us from the fear of death. Why? Because he is God in the flesh, in human flesh. And he never sinned. David sinned and he was a king of Israel. And Solomon sinned and he was a king of Israel. All the kings of Israel sinned. But he is the king of Israel, the king of the Jews, and he never sinned. But he went onto the cross and was under a curse on the cross and paid for the sins, not only of the Jews, but of the world. And when he hung on that cross, he cried out, Tetelestai! Which means the bill is paid. He paid it. And the curtain ripped in the temple, which said to God, you don't need this temple anymore. You don't need the sacrifices anymore. You don't need the priests anymore. Why? Because the great liberator has freed us from death. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I was free at last. He said it's finished. There's nothing more for you to do but believe.
Right.
Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You say, what does that mean? It means, number one, understand the good news that it's not by law. It's not by works of the law. It's by simple faith in Jesus Christ who kept the law perfectly. And when you believe on him, he who died and was buried and rose again, he puts his perfect obedience to your account, in your bank account. He takes all of your sins through your whole life, however many, and he says, it's finished. I paid for them. Do you have that liberty? Do you have that independence from the curse of the law, from the fear of death? I do. You say, how do you know? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong. Let's sing it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, he loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. That's how Abraham got liberated. Before Jesus came, God said, there's coming someone who's going to come from you, Abraham, even though you can't have children, even though you're too old, there's somebody coming from you, Abraham, and even though your wife can't have children, she's 90 years old, I'm still going to keep my promise. There's somebody coming from you, Abraham, and from Sarah, your wife, and that one is going to be the Savior of the world. And the Bible says that happened before the law was given, 430 years. They didn't even have the law given to the Jews. That was given, and Abraham simply believed that God would do what he said. And you know what? His faith was counted for righteousness. What does that mean, his faith was counted for righteousness? It was put up as for righteousness, but righteousness had not yet been provided when he believed, because Christ hadn't come yet. So when Christ came, he lived under the law, he kept the law, he died under the curse of the law, he provided for righteousness, and now Abraham, who had been in the center of the earth in a place called Abraham's bosom, he could now go to heaven because Christ provided the righteousness. His faith held until Christ came and paid for righteousness. But now you and I, he's already come. He's already finished the work. It's finished. And all we have to do is receive it by simple faith. And anybody that tries to add to that or take away from that, they're taking away from the righteousness of God. That's what the Catholic Church does. It says, well, you know, Peter was the first pope, and he confers grace on, and then the next pope came and he confers grace on the bishops, and the bishops on the priests. And if you keep the sacraments, somewhere along the line, you've got enough righteousness where God says that you're righteous. That is not standing fast in the liberty of Christ. That's adding works to it. No, it's faith in Christ plus nothing. Some people say, lordship salvation. I got to make him Lord of my life. No, he is the Lord. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment you believe, you're united to him. So that means you died with him, you're buried with him, and now you do have a new Lord in your life. But you don't make him Lord. You believe. You trust him to save you. You come to him as a sinner. You faith looks outside of yourself and trusts somebody else called Jesus. And that's the gospel. And that's what liberates us. And that gives us the greatest liberator that ever lived. I'm saying, listen to me this morning, stand fast in the liberty of your liberators, because your faith in Jesus Christ has given you the greatest liberation. And as long as I preach from this pulpit, I am not going to preach Christ plus circumcision or Christ plus baptism or Christ. It's Christ plus nothing. That's how you're saved. And we're going to stand fast in that. Amen? And I'm going to say a second thing, and that is stand fast in the liberty of your liberators, not only because faith in Christ has given you the greatest liberation by the greatest liberator, but because you should stand fast in what your liberators have given you. Now, we thank God that our liberator, Jesus Christ, has given us a wonderful salvation. It is glorious. I'm never going to be under the law again as a covenant of works. The righteousness of the law is being worked in me by the Holy Ghost, which I possess. And by the way, if you've been liberated by Jesus Christ, Satan doesn't own you anymore. The world doesn't own you anymore. You're not under the law as a curse. You are in grace. You are in a new realm. You are under a new Lord. Praise God. My old Lord was the devil, and the will of my father, the devil, I did. But now my new Lord is Jesus Christ. Do I follow him perfectly? No. But it doesn't change the fact that he's my Lord, that I'm in the realm of his grace. You say, how'd you get there? When I believed on him, simple faith, I was saved by simple grace through faith. When I believed on him, automatically I was united to him spiritually. That meant I died with him, I was buried, I was raised with him. I'm in Jesus Christ. I can fall, but I fall on top of a mountain now. I don't fall back into where I was. Amen. Praise God. Stand fast in that great liberty because of what your liberator Jesus Christ gave you, and he didn't need Peter's help, even though Peter said, you know, I'll help you out, Lord. I'll die for you. He said, no, no, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. I'm going to die for you. You failed him, but your salvation is by the liberator, Jesus Christ. And let me say this. That's why I want to turn this county red with the blood of Jesus. I like it that Bob Bojeski goes out and he is helping people that don't vote to vote. 7 out of 10 Republicans don't vote. Right, Bobby? He's helping them vote. But you know what he's also doing? He's telling them about the blood of Jesus to liberate them from Satan. Because a lot of these people vote wrong because they don't have the Holy Spirit in them. They're not born again. And once a person gets born again, if they're properly taught from the pulpit, they're going to vote right and they're going to do other things right. That's called sanctification. So I'm talking to you this morning, and I'm saying that you should stand fast in what your liberators have given you, not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but let me get into voting. I'm going to say something about voting because we're getting close to it. I'm going to preach a little bit on voting. Now, some people say, Pastor, you can't preach on voting. I can preach on anything that the Bible speaks to. It's called the full counsel of God. And I'm going to talk, I've already talked about the liberators of our country. And I want to say, stand fast in this election by your standing for the liberty given to you by the blood of the patriots and by the signers of the Declaration and of our Constitution. I want to say this, stand fast against the demon rats, the uniparty sellouts, and the selected candidate of the machine called Kamala Harris. She was not elected, she was selected, and even Joe Biden doesn't like it. That's what he put on a MAGA hat. He doesn't like it. He was forced to publicly acknowledge her. You say, Pastor, you're speaking against Kamala. Yes, I am. I'm speaking against Kamala Harris. And I'm going to say this about Kamala. First of all, Kamala Harris promised to pass a law that says that she would wipe away every restraint, listen to me, against killing unborn children. She was faced with a bill dealing with babies who had been born alive. It was called the Born Alive Bill. It was babies that were born alive due to a failed abortion attempt. Listen to me now. Kamala Harris was faced with that. The bill said that you can't kill a baby born alive in a failed abortion attempt. Here's what Kamala Harris did. She stood against this bill to save the baby's life. She's so radical that this proves she's not only pro-abortion up until the 9th month, but even after a baby is born in a failed abortion attempt, she is for infanticide of a baby being born alive because she fought this bill called the Born Alive Bill. Kamala Harris also waged war against pro-life workers who are trying to protect unborn babies from radical abortionists. She put into effect, listen to this, a law that forced or mandated pro-life pregnancy centers to, quote, require them to send their mothers to abortion clinics. To require pro-life centers to send the mothers that had come to them for help to abortion clinics. If they refused to do it, Kamala's bill levied financial penalties against them that would, in effect, put their business of pro-life centers out of business. They couldn't afford it because of her fines. You know what? Thank God that that bill that she backed was overturned by the Supreme Court of the United States, in part with the help of Trump-appointed judges. Kamala Harris also tried to force, that is, mandate that pro-life institutions must turn over to the government the records of all of the people that gave money to help that pro-life institution. Once again, the courts overruled her radical pro-abortion agenda. And then Kamala Harris, listen to this, waged war against David Daleiden. She waged war against David Delighton. I'm here this morning to tell you that David Delighton should have been honored and rewarded. How many of you know of David Delighton? He should be honored and rewarded because he courageously exposed the evil scheme of Planned Parenthood to sell aborted baby body parts for profit. That reminds me of Joseph Mengele under Hitler using Jewish body parts for lampshades and other things. Planned Parenthood was doing that, and David Delighton exposed them. And Kamala Harris, did she honor David Delighton? Oh no, she didn't honor him. But instead, Kamala used laws never before used to bring criminal charges against David Delighton. She actually brought him to trial to level 15 felony counts against him to send him to prison. She had his house raided and his computer seized. Then she had recordings on his computer that exposed the evil plans of Planned Parenthood. Where is the Bill of Rights there, friends? I see why she's been called Comrade Kamala. And she goes along with her Marxist father. But not only that, Kamala Harris is a strong advocate. If all that wasn't bad enough, Kamala Harris, listen to me this morning, is a strong advocate for gender mutilation of minor children. She advocates strongly for that in spite of God giving children two designations, not a bunch of pronouns, but male and female God made them. Leave that go. Don't worry about it. Don't pick it up. It's all part of the sermon. Male and female. Kamala's not apparently for that. She's too radical for that. And she advocates for mutilation of minor children against the rights of parents to protect their children, their minor children, from this satanic agenda. She wants to take minor children away from parents who are so antiquated that they believe in two sexes. And she wants to put thoughts into their head through the government school to mutilate them, to try to change them into what God didn't make them. That is a boy to a girl to a boy. Balderdash! And think how perilous this would be if this woman were to be made president of the entire nation. Now let me say something. Pastors that don't preach about this are failures. They're failures. And they're not worthy of the pulpit. Because these are Bible issues. These are life and death and Bible issues. And you are to warn your flock. And if you don't do it, you are a failure. I'm a patriotic preacher, not because the other side is perfect, but boy, there is a radical difference. And you need to understand Democrats, I call them demon rats because the party has been taken over. It's not the old Democrat Party. It's not the one I knew when I was very young growing up. Democrats are anti-protection of life, and Republicans under Donald Trump helped to overturn Roe v. Wade, which brings back the decision to the states and to the people. Is it perfect? No. But it's radically different than what these demon rats are offering. And who is George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, quote-unquote Republicans, that support Kamala Harris? Boy, they're... And who is Mike Pence, that coward, who won't take a stand in this election? Pontius Pilate. Stand right in the middle. Do nothing. Hogwash. Demon rats and those that compromise with them are, therefore, for the mutilation of children by default, to to let them be what they're let it happen to them. Let them eat cake. They're for abortion. They're for infanticide. Let them die, like the governor of Virginia said, or Young. Who was that guy? Youngkin? Is that the guy? What's his name? Yeah, the former one, not Youngkin. He's a good one. Youngkin's a good one. The other guy. Let him die. Let him die. Make him comfortable, he said, I think. Or, I don't even think he said that. Just let him die. It's just ridiculous. Democrats are siding against the First Amendment and our freedom of speech and our freedom of religion. Bobby is right. If Kamala is elected, I believe no longer would I be able to do this without police coming in and taking me out of here. By the way, that's the same thing that happened to Sam Adams. They were trying to arrest John Hancock, and they were trying to arrest Sam Adams, and they heard that they were hidden out in Lexington, which was true, and thanks to Paul Revere and some spy who might have been Gage's wife, thank God for that the word was given, and Paul Revere said, "The British are coming, the British are coming," and they were able to escape. Thank God for these patriots. And thank God for patriotic preachers back then who took a stand. But just like the Tories back then who compromised, Mike Pence is a Tory type person. How can he say he's a Christian? His failure to investigate on January 6th helped to cause that protest. He failed. He had the right under the Constitution to investigate that election, and he refused to do it. And of course, the demon rats had it all planned to make people that were protesting look bad, and we know what happened there. Democrats are siding against the First Amendment and our freedom of speech and religion. Democrats are mixed on Israel at best, and you got the squad, and you got a lot of demon rat people that are unlike the guy from Pennsylvania. What's the guy's name from PA that is pro-Israel now?
Fetterman.
Fetterman. He's a. But I'm just saying to you that the Democrats are mixed. Donald Trump said, "I'm for Israel."
Amen.
And he was the first president to actually not only recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, but to put the U.S. embassy there. And he did it in December of 2017, a historic prophetic jubilee moment. Donald Trump. You know what Donald John Trump said about Iran? Just exactly what I've been preaching on, that God feels about Iran. In Jeremiah 49, 34 through 37, God says, bomb the nuclear sites. I preached on that. Bomb the nuclear sites in Iran. Donald Trump said, bomb their nuclear sites. You know what Harris and Biden are saying? Oh, just don't do that. Just leave it alone. They funded Iran. Billions of dollars. That's why you have Hamas. That's why you have Hezbollah. That's why you have these proxies in Syria. That's why you have the turmoil. These are biblical issues. Are you going to stand against the uniparty Republicans who are Laodicean and make the Lord sick? Are you going to heed what Edmund Burke, the great British conservative, said years ago when he said, all we need for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Now listen to me, and listen to me now. I'm not saying that you need to get into politics as the main thing. The main thing is not politics, beloved. The main thing is being liberated by Jesus Christ. Amen. By putting your faith in Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Because if you do, and you're taught right from the Word of God, like you're getting today, you will vote right. First of all, you should vote. You're given that opportunity. That in the Roman Empire, they didn't have it in Paul's day. They couldn't vote. They had Caesar, like it or not. You have a choice. You say, well, they're going to cheat. They're going to rig it. You can make it too big to rig. Still possible. You're given an opportunity. This may be the last one. Are you going to vote? Are you going to vote right? Or are you going to let it go by default? You need to do what's right. And take a stand. And I see these Harris Wall signs in yards, and I want to knock them down. I don't do it, because that's not the way to do it. But I see them, and I think these people need Christ. They are so duped.
Right.
They're duped. They need Christ.
Yeah.
We need a revival. It's the only thing that will save America is a spiritual revival of the old-time religion. I'm talking the King James Bible, by the way. Satan's got us with wrong Bibles, and these preachers, they're good men, godly men, good men, good men. But they got the wrong Bible, including the New King James, which is the biggest trick of all. The devil couldn't get them on the NIV. The devil couldn't get them on the ESV. So he used the New King James to try to trick them. And you get all these guys. I don't listen to guys that preach the New King James. Don't need them.
Amen.
I don't need them. I'm standing firm in the liberty from the false Bibles that God gave me. I'm standing firm. You say, well, those fundamentalists, they're not all good. I don't give a flip. I'm talking about my liberator.
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'm just saying, do you know him?
Good preacher.
Have you trusted in him?
Amen.
If you haven't, He says, come to me. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. After you're saved, you should get baptized. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You just have to know you're a sinner, right, Andy? You're condemned. You're on your way to hell. You're a beggar. And Jesus has the bread. And you say, Lord, I trust you to save me. The one who died, was buried, and rose again. And he said he did it so that everybody in the world is given an invitation to come to him. He's no respecter. He's no respecter. He died for the world. That qualifies you, unless you're a dog or a cat or Teddy Woo or something like that. Or an angel. No angels here. Come to him. Trust in him and be saved. Would you do that? Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed.